All right, everybody, welcome back. Sorry we missed an episode last week. This is Parenting Talk.
I'm Riley.
I'm Brie.
And today we're talking about entitlement and gratitude in general, you know, like how teenagers...
It's not just teenagers.
Oh, yeah. Okay, in general. So, first... What is gratitude? Gratitude is the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. Now, I think gratitude, Mom, what is gratitude to you? Like, what?
Why are you asking me this right now? Why don't you just say what? Keep reading.
So,
what does gratitude ask? What does it mean to you? How do you feel about it? How do you show it?
Gratitude.
To me, it's the act of being grateful.
Yeah, gratitude is, you know, when you're grateful and you're thankful for, you know, things that you have, and things
you're
that people
hear that.
And things that people do for you, and like you can show gratitude by like if someone. You know, by helping clean up. I know it's a bad example because I don't do that. But, you know, like helping your parents clean up after they took you somewhere. Or, you know, like actions speak louder than words.
Yeah. You know, anyways, gratitude. I don't think you guys ever show gratitude.
Well, hard to show gratitude sometimes.
I don't think so.
People are picky about gratitude.
I don't think so.
Yes, I think
like,
so.
Like, this would have been a good episode for your brothers to be in. That's your right, Cohen. Because I was nice this morning and I let him play on his phone. Was he grateful? No. Did he feel entitled? Yes.
Or last night, when we stayed up, they stayed up, because usually their bedtime's 8. Usually, yeah. And Mom let them stay up till 9:30 with us when we were watching a movie. And when we turned it off, they started crying and whining. And they don't want to go to bed. And then this morning they woke up and they were in such cranky moods. And they were so mad. And it was not great. They were not being thankful. They weren't showing gratitude. So this is from Greater Good. .berkeley.edu. How to teach gratitude to teens and tweens. You can't teach gratitude practices in a vacuum, especially to teens. As a former high school teacher, I can imagine eyes rolling and arms crossing during a lecture on the value of an attitude of gratitude. Simply asking students to share three things that they are grateful for might also trigger understandable resistance. Teens tend to respond more positively to lessons and activities that help them understand themselves and connect with peers, which is what a researcher said to keep in mind. And it says, why is gratitude good for youth? Although gratitude as a social emotion has long been considered a powerful ingredient of health and well-being for both individuals and societies, for a long time no systematic attempt has ever been made to deeply explore its development in youth. Sorry, my voice is like gone from yelling this whole past week. Yeah. So, however, initial research demonstrated that when compared with their less grateful peers, grateful youth are happier and more satisfied with their lives, friends, family, neighborhood, and selves. They also report more hope, greater engagement with their hobbies, higher GPAs, and less envy and depression. That's a good thing. Good job. Sorry, my dog in the background. She's barking at everybody. Is that for me? Thank you. No, I'm just kidding. That's mean. Okay. Let's see. So, Mom, it says that, like, research demonstrated that when students who are more grateful are compared with their less grateful peers, they're shown to be more happy, more satisfied with their life. They also have less envy and depression.
How do you show gratitude?
I told you. Like, if your mom lets you go somewhere and you come back and, you know, you help her clean up or you clean up for her.
I show gratitude by, well, when you guys, it's hard to sometimes show you gratitude because I'm so angry that you guys don't do the chore that you're supposed to do. Like, I'm like, hey, you know, you did a really good job. I really appreciate you taking the dogs out, taking them for their walk. Here, you can have your phone for this. But then there's also times where I just need you to do something, and I just tell you I'm grateful. I tell you words of encouragement on why.
Yeah. How gratitude builds relationships. As students learn gratitude, they also are learning about the concepts of intention and benefit, how others deliberately take actions that make our lives better, inspiring us to feel grateful. Acts of kindness that inspire gratitude are usually done on purpose with intention. Someone has noticed us, thought about what we need, and chosen to do something to meet that need. Reflecting on the intentions behind these acts deepens our sense of gratitude, which is true. Like, you know, I see that mom needs help cleaning up, and I clean up. Then she's going to think about it and be like, huh, yeah, very thankful for that. Each act of kindness has a cost to the person who performs it. The cost may include time, effort, or something that was given up, as well as any financial cost. When we understand this cost, we gain a deeper appreciation of the person who acted in a caring way. Yeah.
I always tell you, you guys aren't grateful, and you always tell me, but mom, we are grateful. I literally, in my head, I'm picturing, like, last week. When you're like, I don't have a kid to go do anything. And I told you, you don't understand how much you have going on. You say, I am grateful. I'm grateful that I have all this stuff to do. Because I feel like you guys aren't grateful. You guys, like I said, this is like a sense of entitlement. Like, you're like, well, because I signed you up for something that you think that you shouldn't be grateful because it was my idea. Like when we were talking about going to Scouts and we were talking about quitting. And I said,
Do you understand? That was my problem. I caused that problem.
No, I'm just, this is an example. I'm saying, but you don't realize how much I'm giving up or how much I'm doing for you in order for you to have these opportunities.
Yeah, I know. That was my fault.
Like, right now, I'm grateful that your dad, he's, for the past year, has been doing double the amount of parenting and double the amount of work because of the pandemic. I'm grateful that he never gives me any qualms about taking you guys here and doing this stuff here. So, in order to show my gratitude and appreciation, I will try to make him a dessert or something that I know he likes. Because the five love languages, for him, is usually quality time and touch. Like, the five love languages. Anyway, so telling him that I appreciate it, those words of affirmation, really mean a lot to him.
Others' acts of kindness benefit us personally in ways that may be material, emotional, or social. Noticing and acknowledging the ways we benefit from others' actions enhances our gratitude. That's true.
So explain what that means.
So, like, if you see someone's not doing okay, like, you know, you have that 1% at school who might be, like, crying, but then she always tells everyone she's fine, but then you know that she's not okay, and you go over and you talk to her, and you see if she's doing okay, and if there's anything you can do to help. That shows that, you know, she's thankful for you asking, and yeah, she's grateful for you, and enhances her gratitude. Three keys to teaching gratitude. One is exploring identity. Identity development remains the central developmental task for adolescents, and this curriculum helps facilitate that by allowing students to explore their character strengths. Examples, traits like honesty, curiosity, perseverance, humility, etc. Students join their teacher in taking an online assessment, blah, blah, blah. So it's like exploring your strengths. Like, a strength of mine is that I'm talkative. That's a strength, right?
Mm-hmm. It's outgoing.
Outgoing. There you go. I'm outgoing, which is like, because if someone's alone or whatever, and like, they seem like they want to talk to people, but they don't know who, I'll walk over and be like, hey, what's up? You know? Or like little kids too, you know what I mean? Like how I love taking care of little kids. Like when they don't know what to do and stuff, I help them. I like being a leader, which is all good strengths that I have, because it's a good, those are good things to have. Like mom's strengths. Ooh, you have quite a bit actually. She's honest. Like just honest, which is always a good thing to have. Why am I having to think about this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. My strengths were, we're talking about gratitude.
Well, yeah, but like ways to like learn gratitude and to teach gratitude is first finding your strengths and how that helps other people. So you're honest, which is good because everyone needs honest people in their life.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm too honest. I need to learn that there's a time and place for my bad behavior, my good behavior. I need to learn to, I also have to learn how to say no to people. Like this past year, I've gotten really good at just saying no. It's too much for me. Mm-hmm. I got to learn how to value myself as an employee, as a worker, as a friend, because sometimes, like I said, I do too much and I don't pour enough into myself. Have you heard that saying, you can't pour from an empty cup?
I'm going to say hi to our podcast.
Hello, podcast.
Hello, podcast.
Podcast.
Good night, podcast.
Eric.
Good night, podcast.
Bye. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, too.
Oh, he's blushing.
Cheeks. Goodbye.
Good night, guys.
I'll see you morning. No, wait. Get him out.
Anyways, continue.
Text. Like dad's character strength is that he's really funny and okay, me and dad have more inside jokes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, dad knows like what to say at the right moment usually.
Oh, you mean I don't?
No, you do. But like if someone's
I'm not here
really
during the day. I don't have
enough time. Well, it's like if someone's really, really, really angry, like if you're really angry or if I'm angry or we're angry at each other, he knows what to say. And you know, remember that time when you and dad were mad at each other and I walked in and he didn't want to try on those work shirts, the undershirts. So when he put them on and you were still really mad at him, he said, "He's like my moves." And we all started cracking up laughing.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh my god, I remember that. That wasn't even that long ago. It was like like 3 months ago.
It's funny. Lisa always tells me that what she was talking about. Oh, she said she's always grateful she has a friend like me. She said WWBD. I was like, what? She's like, what would Brie do? And so she asked me my opinion about Andrew going back to school for the only 5 weeks. And I said, I'd let him go back to school because he needs socialization. So she said, I appreciate your honest opinion. She always says, I need reassurance. So that to me as a friend, like it makes me feel validated. So when mm-hmm. you feel gratitude, it's like a self-fulfilling feeling. Mm-hmm. You are proud of yourself. And because you feel proud of your choices and you're grateful that people listen to you, you feel, like I said, you feel valid. You feel like confident. Like you're making the right choices. Mm-hmm. Like Maria, she's always, you know, I'm so grateful to you and your family. I'm so grateful. Without you, Fabiola wouldn't be here. Like when I get those messages, it's so heartwarming and fulfilling. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's three years old. Anyways, go ahead. I don't think your brothers are very grateful.
No. I try to be. Mm-hmm. But sometimes my anger.
But, like, I made, like, tonight I decided I'm going to make cookies, and you guys were all being such jerks. Nobody appreciated that. I actually took them out of the freezer.
I said, thank you, Mom. I liked the cookies.
gratitude. Oh, like when we make dinner and I always hear you guys say, it's not what I want. I don't like this. I'm not talking about just you. I'm just saying in general.
Usually I eat anything. I'm not that picky.
But I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's like that. Them being ungrateful mm-hmm. for what they have.
And it took you all that time to make it.
I shopped for the food. I went to work to make money for the food. And I sacrificed my time, my energy to make something for you guys to eat. And then if you guys tell me, I don't like that. I'm not eating that. Mm-hmm. It makes my feelings so hurt. Makes me so angry.
The good thing is I'm not that picky. I eat really anything she cooks. And even if it's not my favorite meal, I don't really have, like, a least favorite meal from her. It's just if I don't like it as much, I'm still going to eat it. And I'll even get a second bowl, too. It just seems like I don't like
it. As Tony tells me, I'm not eating for the hunger now. I'm eating for the hunger that will come.
Yeah.
I've been with him for 2 years today.
That's crazy. Because
I posted about him being in the concentration camps.
Mm-hmm. Next, in teaching gratitude or learning gratitude, is capitalizing on strengths. A gratitude curriculum that builds on strengths is a wonderful counter on focusing on your perceived deficits.
Deficits. That means what you're lacking.
Yeah.
Like a deficit, you know what that means?
Yeah. When people have the opportunity to celebrate and acknowledge strengths by displaying and sharing their individual selves, we can take pride in that reminder. So it's like you put a lot of emphasis on your strengths. When you're feeling like bad about a certain trait in you or whatever, you're like, you know, like, this happens to me all the time. Remember I used to write in the journal we have together? Mm-hmm. All the time I'd be like, I wish I was more responsible. Well, you can capitalize.
What did I write?
We all make mistakes. Or we're all...
No.
I'm responsible in certain things. You're just responsible,
but I tell you, like, when you make me angry, and I tell you all the time, I expect you to lie to me, and I expect you to test your boundaries because you're a teenager. But... it was from the journal. I was like, where am I going with that? But I tell you all the time, it's okay to make mistakes, but we have to learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the other part of this. Okay, you're not.
One more.
How much time do we have?
17:35. Last one of the three steps. Okay. Is building positive relationships. Once they know their strengths, people or you can leverage to connect more deeply with others and to do good.
Go ahead. It touches on that.
In the world and beyond. For example, you might acknowledge and appreciate others' strengths as they play out during a given day. Building positive relationships. Because once you know your strengths, you can use those strengths to build good relationships. And...
On the line of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
We were back in, we did it in December, and back then, a couple months before, we did the Feed the Homeless. We fed the homeless. Do you remember how grateful some of those people were?
Yeah.
Just for a peanut butter sandwich, a fruit snack,
a juice box. And, like, another small snack.
Do you remember who did you meet? Homer and...
Yeah, I met...
people. And Cohen was like, Mom... What did he say? He was like, I don't like peanut butter sandwiches.
Oh, he doesn't like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I was like, I like peanut butter and jelly. Like,
I don't like peanut butter and jelly. I would eat it.
Yeah.
But there, this wasn't, you weren't with us this time, but when Cohen ate and got the whole box of granola bars down with him and Riker, and then they ate the whole thing, and I made them go, and they had
to. Oh, when we found all the wrappers.
Yeah, but this is, yeah.
Yeah.
But I made them go to the store, and they had to buy all their own groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to make them and then pass them out. Cohen had met this one guy. Well, we got a lot, but this one guy was telling us how grateful he was for the sandwich. He hadn't eaten in 3 days. He was so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I mean, I hate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I hate them. It's disgusting. But again, if that was what I hadn't eaten in 3 days... I would eat it because I was grateful that somebody even took the time out of their day to buy something and then make it and bring it to me. That makes my heart feel so happy.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. We actually recognize a lot of the people we fed.
Yeah.
Like, Homer is a guy we see quite a bit.
You guys should make some sandwiches this weekend.
Well, I have to do lemonade this weekend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, it's still a priority.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one lady when we went to the gas station?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know why I was scared. Oh, I guess I get why I was scared. No, it was, like, dark.
We were at a gas station. It was late. Can't see. But she was so grateful. How many times did, like, we gave some sandwiches out. We gave some people two bags of sandwich or food, the sack lunches. Mm-hmm. And did you see how fast they all opened them up? And they ate them right then and there?
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, Mom, some of these people took two. And I said, who cares? You know, hey, if they're going to eat them, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So the other part of this subject I want to talk about, it kind of goes hand in hand with gratitude, is entitlement.
I wanted to talk about entitlement. Yeah. So the definition of entitlement...
But, like, this generation, especially with, like, social media and the fear of missing out, FOMO, I feel like a lot of these kids nowadays, even adults, they feel entitled. Like, it's kind of crazy now. It's all these people, it has so much to do with, like, it's a bigger spectrum than I think you even realize it. Like, some of these people think, I want to go to work, but there is no job. I can't get a job. And I'm like,
I gotta show the TikTok video. This lady was saying
how some people on her, like, Facebook and Instagram and all their TikToks are like, she's like, I can't find a job. This is so demoralizing. How can this be? And I'm like, the lady said, what do you mean? She's like, there are 1,000 jobs out there. Granted, they are jobs. They're not gonna be the jobs that are what you wanna do. But if you were that desperate for money and to feed your family and to live life, you would take any job.
Like our cousin. Remember when she didn't want to be, like, work as a housekeeper with one of her best friends all, like, a few years back? So she didn't do that job and she ended up just living with her own grandpa still.
It wasn't a housekeeper. It was the fast food.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, these people, the self-righteous entitlement... To me, what it means to me is, like, you feel like you're better than what you have. You feel like you deserve better. But yet, you haven't done anything to deserve that entitlement. Like, all these kids nowadays are, like, Riker. Well, my friend has this. My friend has a phone. And Cohen, how come I don't get to do this? You know, like, the whole entire thing is they feel entitled. Like, they feel like that's their right. Like, I was going back to what I was saying, like, about Cohen.
Yeah.
About how he, in his mind, because I've already let him play video games a couple times, that he thinks that if he does his chores, he's going to have his phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also like, I never said that. I said I will think about it. But if you don't do your stuff, why should I reward you for mediocre performance?
Yeah, I think for me, like, entitlement, I feel like once in a while I can feel like I'm entitled to go hang out with my friends, but I don't really have any friends that I talk to a lot that I want to hang out with, except for, like, Sierra and April. Other than that,
you feel entitled all the time, like with the scout thing. You feel, because this is an example, I don't want to sound like a jerk. I'm trying to think of how I want to say this. But, like, we were talking about scouts. And I was telling you, hey, if you don't have enough time during the day and you can't get all your stuff done, me as an adult, I need to pull you out of things. I need to, you know, hey, make sure you have time to make these other things a priority. You know, it was between Girl Scouts and regular scouts and whatever and all this stuff. And I told you, I will pull you out of this. And what did you tell me? Oh, you can pull me out of everything but this because I've already paid for it. But that doesn't make any sense because I've already paid for all the other scout stuff. But that's that sense of entitlement. Just because you paid for something one time that you should be able to go. But then to me, you're not proving you're responsible to handle that much responsibility. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like the whole entire self-entitlement and gratitude, like as I said, they kind of go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. See, now I don't even care anymore. The only one I actually like, really care about right now is Boy Scouts because I'm this assistant. But I haven't actually pulled that card on you yet. I say yet because it might happen once I get really angry at her. I haven't told her because I'm assistant, like president, I guess, or leader of our Boy Scout troop, which has like 50 kids in it. And we have to meet up every week on Monday. And I haven't pulled the, oh, you can't let me not go because I have to be there card. I haven't pulled that yet.
You have a mandatory shakeout meeting for the summit thing May 14th. It's like a camp out May 14th, I think it's like the 18th.
Dang.
But it's like 2 days, I don't know.
What's crazy? They do, like, you know how the girls meet up together? The boys are doing it too.
I know, they have a girls troop and a boys troop. But like, but my feeling is you guys are so entitled and, oh, the whole entire thing, like entitlement and gratitude. So like I bought all those new books for Cohen.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so angry right now because he ripped the covers off of 8 books, the front and the back.
No, there's more, but we threw them away. We didn't keep track.
But it's the whole entire thing of like, he's like, I don't care if you take it because I know you'll buy me a new one. To me, that is so upsetting because I worked hard to get money to get these books, went out of my way, bought these books for him, even brand new ones I had shipped here. And then he literally read them and was ripping the cover. And I know it's because his brain works differently than our brain with his ADHD.
I said
you can't blame poor behavior on your disability, which yes, it is a disability. It's like what they consider a hidden disability.
Yeah.
But my thing is I feel like that is a slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
when he
you
said
don't that, appreciate it.
Yeah, when he said like you're just gonna buy me a new one, I was like, oh my god, like that. No, because. Because he ended up making him buy his own books. But when you think about that, it's like, sorry, my voice is like gone. When you think about it, it's like, just because she bought it for you and you've already read it does not mean anything. Like
the whole entire thing with the water bottles. Mm-hmm. Like I specifically bought him a new water bottle for school.
It happened to me too.
What?
I remember buying all those water bottles and I ended up having to buy them myself.
Yeah, I was talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did not take care of it. He had it literally for 2 days, dropped it, or left it at school. And he was kind of like, meh, okay, whatever.
It wasn't my fault.
This is his last water bottle. I'm not buying him another one. Because if you can't take care of the first one that I got you and the second one, it's the same thing with the books. I refuse, and it just pains me so much right now, because there's all these new Chris Colfer or whatever books.
I know.
They came off of much, and I have to, like, restrain myself on not buying them, because I want you guys to enjoy reading, and I want to buy these books for you guys, but I can't justify buying them, because I feel like that's going back on my word. That's, like, me not being true and holding my promise.
Yeah. By the way, I didn't say the definition. Entitlement is the fact of having a right to something or the amount to which a person has the right. Also, the belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think what I feel I'm most entitled to is my brothers. Like, blaming things on them and stuff. Like, when the other day when, you said there's other functional people in this house to do chores. And I said, yes, there's 2 other ones too, not just me.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
I don't understand.
I feel like I've gotten a lot better at it. Well, not a lot better, but I feel like I'm more mindful of entitlement. Like, I try not to say stuff like,
Like, okay, that one time when I said, or the few times when I said that, since I paid for it, like, I feel like then I should still be able to go to those. That was definitely a bad thing on my part. But other
than... You said to me many, many times.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said.
But it's like when I got so angry when you, like, it's like the snacks. It's like the whole thing. Riker struggles with entitlement because he sees snacks there. He says, I'm going to eat that. That's my cookie. That's my bag of cookies that I want. And I'm like, hey, you can have these cookies, but you have to eat a fruit first. But he says, my mind, those are my cookies. They're in that box. I'm entitled to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that's a lot of problems with this now generation, your generation, kids that we're raising, because it's like, it's kind of like, have you ever heard the term participation trophy? Like, everybody gets a participation trophy nowadays. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's what kind of generation it's at, like you guys are. It's like, have you ever heard somebody say that? That you guys are like the participation trophy generation? Where back when I was in school, you only got a trophy if you were the best.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter if you were on the soccer team. You didn't get a trophy unless you were the best. But nowadays, because nobody wants to get their feelings hurt, everybody gets a trophy. That's what self-entitlement is. And it makes me so upset. Like, when we're talking about social media, well, all my friends have this. Mm-hmm. But just because your friends have it doesn't mean you get to have it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things that you have that your friends don't have. So, mm-hmm. Anyways, continue. I feel like I'm talking more on entitlement.
Nowadays, I don't really care if I have social media or not because I don't have it. And I'm not on it all the time. Or I'm not on it usually. Not in a bad way. So now I'm kind of like, you know what, it's whatever. I get it when I get it. I don't care anymore. It's whatever. It doesn't bother me. It's just social media. It's not that big of a deal. Because I still get people telling me, like, why don't you have it? You should get it. You know, everyone has it.
Do you ever feel like you're missing out?
Sometimes, yeah.
Or do you feel like you're a better person for it? That you're more limited? Like, I'm not saying you can't have it. I try to compromise with you guys. Like, when we were talking about you didn't get your chores done, so I said, I'm going to take away your phone, but I let you have your phone, but then I compromised, and I just took away blocks from the apps. But I forgot what I was going with that. I don't know. Do you feel that you are more realistic in the world and seeing how the world is versus your friends? Do you feel like they're more like fear of missing out and you're more like, dude, it's not that big of a deal? Like, first world problems? Like, oh my God, my mom wouldn't buy me those new Air Force whatever. My mom wouldn't let me do this. Why can't I go?
I think not really, because mostly, like, whatever my friends ask their parents to do, usually they say yes. Yeah, most of their parents say yes, so they don't have a reason to, like, feel entitled. Well, they'll be entitled over stupid things, like you said, like, oh, I want the new this, I want the new that, you know? Oh my gosh, you have them, you're so lucky. See, my parents should let me get it. And they're like that, but most of my friends' parents are, like, they let them kind of do, like, my friend,
yeah, like, I can't hear what you said, but anyway. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. She's just allowed to do whatever, but she just, like, so she doesn't really ask for much. Same thing with all my friends, like, April, all of that. Yeah. So they don't really have any entitlement. I mean, like, sometimes they do over stupid stuff, but other than that, it's not that bad, actually. But the people at school that I don't talk to, they have a lot of entitlement. Like, oh, I remember last year when I got, you know, when I got invited to my three friends' birthday parties that they had together? Yeah. So one of the girls, because she was popular or whatever, the one who used to bully me, who, like, threatened to fight me or whatever. Yeah, so she was really mad because, like, I got invited by all three of the guys. Because they're all, like, they were all really close friends with me. And so when she found out I was getting, yeah, I can hear her. when I was sitting right next to her when I got told I got invited. All three of them came up to me. She was like, I'm not invited, you know, because because everyone else is invited. I should be invited because I've known you guys for longer. You know, I'm cooler, you know, like stupid stuff that they felt entitled to, you know. It's just like, there's no reason for that. But bigger things, like, no. There's not, like, Cohen entitled. Well, like, I'm
look sorry. Look up examples of entitlement in school. What were you going to say? I interrupted you.
Like, no one at school really is entitled, like, Cohen entitled. I know that sounds really bad, but they're
not like that. His age, his maturity, his brain. Kids with like, a mental, I don't want to say disability, but that's what it is. That they, you can even research it. Kids with, like, ADHD and autism and all these different behavioral issues, they mature. Mm-hmm. Even though Cohen's going to be 12, he's really, in his brain, 9, 8, he's 7. Which makes perfect sense, because him and Riker are BFFs. Mm-hmm. But that whole entire thing of, like, the sense of entitlement, like, even you do the same thing. Cohen, give me that back. It is mine. I'm like, dude, chill out. It's not even that big of a deal. It's the whole entire house's.
No, because sometimes he actually does take my stuff.
I know, but I'm saying there's times where
it's... Like, when I use your computer and I say, come back, it's mine. Or stop touching my computer when it's yours. But
that's not what I'm... Okay. But anyways, go ahead. What are you looking up?
I'm trying to find... There's no...
Whose computer... Whose thing are you on? You're on yours mm-hmm. because you're on the Tracker Jacker.
Tracker Jacker.
You shouldn't be on that because that is why. You keep going on these websites and you're going to give my computer a virus. Mm-hmm. And I need this computer for work. So please don't do that. Examples of entitlement. Examples of entitlement. Oh, that's not entitlement.
I mean, people at school make jokes, like, about, like, stupid jokes about entitlement.
Like what?
They're like, well, I don't really know if it's entitlement, but when people have AirPods or whatever, or no, this happened today. So we had to use our, me and my friend, he actually listens. Hi! Me and my friend Max had to use, our phones for our Nearpod. Lesson because we didn't have school computers, so we had to search it up on our Google Chrome. And he has like a really old phone because he doesn't use the phone very much. So I connected his phone to my hotspot, which I don't know if I turned off. I think I did. Yeah. And he was like, sorry, I know I have a crappy phone. I was like, oh no, it's whatever. It's whatever. It still works. And then, one of the guys, because he hangs out with like a whole bunch of guys, you know, they're all friends. But they can be pretty big jerk sometimes, and they said, oh, how does it feel to, whenever you message, it's in green, or, like, how does it feel to not have an iPhone, how does it feel to have a crappy phone, you know, and they're, like, and he's, like, oh, it's not even that big of a deal, and he's, like, sorry, or he was, like, he said, I don't message people who have Androids, I'm sorry, and I was, like, oh, good thing you don't message me, like, it's just bad, just because they have, an iPhone, like a better phone, they feel entitled to say all this stuff.
So examples of entitlement tendencies. You expect the same rules that apply to others shouldn't apply to you. For example, other people might need to start at the bottom and work their way up, but you shouldn't have to. Mm-hmm. So that's a good example.
Like when you're born, like, this is a good example. I know it's a stupid example, but it's good. Like some people are born... Or like, their parents are celebrities, right? And they don't have to work to be a famous actor or a famous musician. But then you have those people who have to work their way up, right? Mm. And then some actors or people who are born with celebrity parents feel entitled because they're already up there and everyone else had to work for it.
You feel massively put upon when other people ask you for small favors, but you expect that when you ask people for favors, it's no big effort. Oh my gosh, I wish Cohen was in this episode with us.
We should go wake him up.
No, because...
So, when, like, I used to make cranky tomorrow. So, it's, like, when people ask you for favors.
If I'm asking you a favor, you're like, oh, my God, why are you asking me to do... That sounds familiar. Hey, Riley, can you please make sure that you put the clothes in the dryer because I washed them today and I need the geese dried so you guys can have them. So, because I did the laundry... and I made sure it was done, but I need you to do me a favor and take them out.
No, I don't want to.
But you'll ask me, hey, Mom, can you make sure that you wash this because I don't have enough laundry to do this? And I say, hey, that's great. Okay, I'll go ahead and do that. Why is that mask up there? It doesn't belong up there.
Or, okay. It's another example.
Oh, like today. Owen. Today, you. When I didn't tell you could take your phone, but you took it anyways, but whatever. You expect, you or dad, you message your dad to do you a favor to bring you a snack. Perfect example. Your dad was nice and went out of his way. But you made this big deal to show him how grateful you were earlier. But how many times does it happen where you guys are like, I'm starving. I should have the snack. I should have the last donut because I didn't eat breakfast. I'm like, well, that's your own fault.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was very grateful and showed gratitude to my dad.
You expect other people to be more interested in you and what's on your agenda than you're interested in them and what's on their agenda. You see your own interests as more interesting than other people's and see your goals and dreams as more valid or important than other people's. Is that you? You think your goals and dreams are more important than
everyone? No, I think my schedule. Because remember, I always tell you I have to be somewhere at a certain time. And I don't focus on your schedule, too. And what you need.
Yeah.
Well, I try to. Like, I tell you, hey, Kevin can drop me off at Scouts or pick me up.
But sometimes I tell you, it's not just about the time. It's about the fact that I told you I don't want to do something every day of the week. I don't. My life does not revolve around Scouts.
I can quit.
No, I'm just telling you. You disregard rules that are intended for everyone's comfort. For example, you ignore signs asking you, please do not put your feet on the chairs at the movies.
Colin Riker.
It's not just about Colin Riker. I'm just saying in general. Yeah,
in general, too, but like, they're a good example.
You freeload. For example, you're using Turrington programs to download movies rather than pay for. We don't download movies. We just stream them. You inconvenience others. This is a perfect one. But again, these can't be all about your brother because of his ADHD. His ADHD is a executive dysfunction.
I think Gregor has ADHD.
I do too. But so ADHD is like a lack of the executive dysfunctioning disorder. So it's kind of like how I'm like, I had to tell myself last night when I was making those desks or making that room in there. I said, I started cleaning this and I went over to do this and I did this and this. But then I started doing this and I was like, okay. Or yeah, I was in the kitchen, you know, I started cleaning, doing the dishes, and I just went over here. But I started unloading the dishwasher, and then I looked over, the trash was there, so I started doing it. I said, okay, focus. I need to work on one thing at a time. But anyways, you inconvenience with others without thinking. For example, you cancel appointments or reservations repeatedly. You make plans with friends and then bail on those plans without considering that your friend may have to organize other plans for outfitting you. But this is a good example of you can inconvenience others without thinking. How many times, I'm not going to say their name, have you're like, hey, I need you to, can we pick this person up? And I say, okay, well, it's now 5, whatever, and I get home at 5:30, you're inconveniencing me because I have to go out of my way to drive to go pick somebody up or take you somewhere because you forgot about it. No, I'm just saying, it doesn't necessarily have to be that person, I'm just saying in general. Or you're like, hey, Mom, what are we doing on this and this day? And it's literally like one day ahead, and I'm like, well, I have plans because I want to go hiking as a family. And you're like, oh, I have this thing I'm supposed to go do. And I'm like, okay, well, that is something you should have discussed with me beforehand.
Well, I can do it online.
But I'll make an example.
But I got the link sent.
You think it's okay to upset or offend other people. You see people who like to keep the peace as weak. You think it's okay to upset or offend other people. You see people who like to keep the peace as weak. So somebody would see your dad as a weak person because he's very quiet, kind of mild mannered. Your dad's pretty funny, but most people see him as a quiet person.
He has to open up to you.
But for me, I'm more like, why? Like, why don't you just be outgoing?
Why don't you start being like this?
But jeez. It's just like, when we were talking, like, it happens to even adults, like clients, you know, like, when work calls me or they message me because they're taking advantage of the fact, they're feeling entitled to the fact that I will answer my phone and I will go see a client. I will go pick them up. I will go there because I don't want them to be without. So they call me and they're taking advantage of me.
Okay.
You should call them and yell.
Can I call and yell at them before you leave?
You cheat in environments that are based on reciprocity. For example, you ask loads of questions in your favorite intern at form, but you don't spend the same amount of time as answering other questions. Yeah, it's kind of... When working in groups, you think you should be the leader or get the most credit.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
And that's why I choose usually to be in no group or a group of the same, like, two people.
What?
So I like being in the same group of two people or being in a group by myself. There's two people I always work with in each class. And if I'm not working with them, then I'm working by myself. There's no way.
Okay, so challenging entitlement in children. But so, like, we were talking about cars. Like, you're getting ready to drive. You're like, I can't wait to drive when I drive. And I'm like, hold up. Nobody said you could drive yet because in your mind, you're saying, I'm turning 15. I'm allowed to drive, Mom. I'm allowed. I can do this. And I'm like, hold on. No, you can't. There's rules and your parents have to sign off on this and you have all this. But in your mind, you're like, I'm 15. I can drive.
Right? I know. I gotta get rid of that thought. And today my friend is talking to me about driving because he's getting ready. My Max, what's up again? Holler. He's getting ready to drive next month. And I'm like, he was telling me about it all when I was waiting for Dad to pick me up. And I was like, oh, everyone's getting ready to drive. And I still got till like May of next year. When I get my braces off. Like, and I was, yeah. Or when I do the lemonade stand and I feel entitled because I was out there for that many hours, I get that money. Instead of giving you some of the money that you use to go buy stuff to do the lemonade stand.
Or how about when you told me that child support money?
That I was confused about. I don't know why I said that out loud. I needed something to back me up and it backfired.
Yeah. When I told Aunt Mariah about that, she's like, oh, girl. She's like, I'm surprised that she's got teeth.
To me, Auntie Mariah seems so much more strict than she, like, she's so much more strict than she seems to be.
But
I'm sorry, Auntie Mariah, but I can,
listen.
I can never, I don't care. I'm sorry, Auntie Mariah, but I can never be your daughter. Actually,
typically entitled kids believe that the world revolves around them, This is from Highlights Magazine parents. That things should be done for them, and the past should be cleared for them without them putting in much effort. Signs of entitlement, including not taking no for an answer, acting helpless when they're not. That's every kid. Oh, Mom, I can't fold these socks. I need Riley to help me do it.
God.
I need Riley. Oh, I need God. Cohen.
Oh, my God. It's not my stuff. I don't have to do
it. But what do we tell him? Try to do it, and if you can't do it.
But he still doesn't try.
I know, and that's why I just, that's why I don't argue with him. I just say, okay, when you're done, you can come out and talk to me. But, like, this whole entire thing, like, tonight, you know, they in their mind, they should have already, you guys know the rules. The chores have to be done before I get home or before a certain time, usually about, like, 7, 7:30. Your chores have to be done in order for you guys to have 30 minutes of computer time or electronic times.
Mm-hmm.
But in their mind, they were like, okay, well, we will hurry up and did our chores. I'm like, hold up. That's not what I said. I said, get your stuff done. I never said you get your chores, your phones. But in their mind, they're feeling entitled to it because they did something. But just like Riker expects dessert every night, which doesn't make any sense.
It's not a reward for you to do chores every night. You used to tell me this all the time, too.
What?
It's not, you shouldn't get a reward for doing something you're always supposed to do.
There's five people in this household. I expect everybody to pitch
in. But it annoys the crap out of me. Every hour I hear Riley needs to help me with this.
Who or what is to blame for an entitled attitude? The media, the society, family? This is an answer. It helps to think of entitlement as the behaviors that go with it as learned responses. It's not a matter of biology. Parents and other caregivers are the source of the problem. This is what somebody's answer was. We see this when parents work too hard to make their children, their preschooler eats just something. A better approach is to treat your child from toddlerhood onward as though he's one of a family of 10 children. Meals get done once with no multiple choices, or your children will learn to expect the world to conform to their needs, and they become convinced of their own invincibility. So, example, how the other night we made something for dinner. This always happens. I don't like that. I said, well, I'm sorry. This is what we made for dinner. I am not a short order cook. Now, if you want something else, usually it's a peanut butter sandwich.
Leftovers.
Or leftovers. But at the same time,
then that's just more leftovers for us.
But it's just that, the audacity that we did this for you guys and you guys don't appreciate it.
Especially when Dad's up making dinner and he's, so tired and he has to deal with Cohen and Riker all the time.
He's going to be so happy that I start on my new job on Monday.
Yeah, usually he's going to, I think it's going to go a lot
better. He was, picking Cohen up from school today. I called him at 1 o'clock. He was still on his way driving there. Entitled kids can make family life challenging, but does the same it's all about me attitude also impact a child's development? Yes. It may take longer for the child with his sense of entitlement to develop personal responsibility, accountability, and resilience. If parents are constantly stepping in to make things easier, kids don't develop the resiliency that comes from dealing with the hard times and getting back on track. And that's I'm just saying this is an example of when you guys were at Peralta or Camino, and if you guys forgot your homework, you couldn't call so we can come pick it up. Or drop it off. You forgot it. Oh, well, you have to deal with the consequences.
Rather, dealt with the consequences. We copied it.
I'm just saying. But that now, so for an example, now, I was trying to think what, for the consequences. You just disrupted my train of thought. Sorry. Oh, my gosh. We'll talk about consequences and the actions. Well, you have the consequence of you have your phone, but you're not supposed to have text messaging. But those are things that you have to deal with the consequences because you didn't follow through on what your end of the deal was. But you'll tell me, but Mom, I did this. Why do I have to do that? And I explained to you, but in your mind, because you're a teenager, you feel that sense of entitlement, because that's your phone, that you should get it, I shouldn't block anything. Or example of your door. Because you're the only one with your own room and you have a door here, I often feel that you feel entitled to have your door closed and to do whatever you want in here.
No, I just closed my door because I don't know why I need it open. There's no one else in here but me.
Because half the time you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, sometimes I need to take a break of what I need to do.
You mean fall asleep on the bed when you're supposed to be doing your chores? And
people need naps.
But the thing is, when your dad asked you to do something and you didn't do it, and then he ended up rushing to make dinner and doing something else, Riker's astronaut project, because you didn't do what you were asked to do.
I didn't understand it.
But you didn't ask for help.
No, I did several times.
Okay, not just that, but how many times have I said, hey, did you do the laundry? I need you to finish this up. So you can deal with this. And consequences. I asked you. I tell you all the time. Please don't put your dirty clothes in with towels. Because a lot of the towels have bleach on them. And what happened? You put your clothes on with your black gi. And it got bleach on it. So yes,
I drop bleach droplets in there.
But I'm saying, this is the consequence. And it sucks. I mean, how many you didn't pack your snack this morning for school, but then you were starving, right? So you had to deal with the natural consequence.
I have 6 people in the classroom hearing my stomach growl.
But I'm just saying. I know.
Well, technically 7.
But I don't know how many times it happens. I was like, oh man, I'm running late. I forgot this. Or I forgot to do this, at work. Well, guess what? I got to pay the consequence now.
No, sometimes you ask Dad to grab it for you.
No, I'm talking about, if I forget to do something at work. And my supervisor's like, hey, how come this didn't happen? I'm like, well, the other day when work, one of the caregivers on the weekend had left this stupid, nasty note. And she's like, I'm going to call the office. And I was like, girl, I wasn't, nobody was in here for 4 days. Like,
why?
Because she felt like something didn't get done. Like, the bathroom wasn't clean. And she was like, this is unacceptable. And so she called the office to complain. I'm like, hey, listen, I wasn't even here for 4 days. But I think the office, this is where it comes into, like, yes, it's a sense of entitlement. But I also, you have to learn how to stand up for yourself. So when I called work and I was like, hey, I see the caregiver's note about, like, the house not being cleaned and this being dirty and how she had to do this work. And I'm like, Tony's not our client and that bathroom, I'm pretty sure she's complaining about his bathroom. It's not my job to be his housekeeper, to be their housekeeper. That is not my job. Yes, I will do light housekeeping, but my job is not to scrub every inch of the house. So for me, like, I have to learn... That's the whole entire gratitude and time entitlement. I have to learn where and when I need to stand up for myself. So when I call the office, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize what that is. I just have to, you know, send this message out. I said, I understand. I understand where you're coming from. But I need to let you know that that message that she sent and wrote is not okay because he's not our client. But that's the whole entire thing of like, in my head, I'm like, why would you write this note for these caregivers when you're there overnight? And if you see something needs to be done, why wouldn't you just do it instead of complaining so somebody else can do it and get in trouble for it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just, I don't know. So, we were, like, yeah, Lisa and I were talking about, like, consequences, and she was telling me how her kids would die without the internet or having their phones and electronics. And I said, you know, my rule is you get all your chores done and then you can get 30 minutes. She's like, your kids will be fine, they'll be fine. I said, but if you don't set these expectations, why would they not even try to live up to them? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could give Cohen his phone, I can give Riker's phone. Mm-hmm. But that's not teaching them anything. That's just reinforcing the fact that, hey, yeah, we have phones. You can play on them.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
See, now I don't even care if I have my phone or not. I don't care if I have social media or not.
You do. It's just not as prevalent as what it used to be.
No. No, I honestly don't really care.
Like, please don't do that. It's very loud.
Sorry. The only time I feel left out now is, like, if I'm, like, on the trip. When I went to Lachlan with April and them, like, they're all, like, on Instagram and Snapchat, and, like, posting about it, and I was, like, that's the only time where I was, like, oh, that kind of sucks, I don't have it. But, like...
But do you feel like you're more in the moment? You were more enjoying things? Because you were able to, like, stop and look around and...
I guess, but, I mean, she didn't take photos that much. Like, she just took it, like, a few... Well, she took photos.
Like, I think Riker's the one who's, like, mostly self-entitled.
What is, seriously?
As soon as something ends, like, where
I think, okay.
Where were we at the other day?
They each have their own days.
I know. No, but where were we at the other day? And Riker was talking to me. We were somewhere.
Castle Park.
No, we weren't at Castle Park. We were somewhere. We were at somebody's house. No, we were at somebody. I think we were at, I don't know where we were at the other day. He goes, oh, I think we were at the scout meeting. The Boy Scout meeting. He goes, Mom, I'm bored. I'm sorry, it's not my job to entertain you. You wanted to come with me, but that doesn't mean I have to entertain you.
Cohen was bored.
No, it wasn't Cohen. Okay, we got to wrap this up. We're at 59 minutes, so I don't know. We can always talk about this again, but entitlement,
I was gratitude.
I'm tired. I don't feel good.
I don't
but listen. Welcome to, or thank you for listening to another episode of Parenting Talk. Sorry we missed you last week. Life happens. Please email us at brichie08@gmail.com if you have any questions, if you want to have a certain topic you want to talk about. Hi, Lexi, if you listen, because she listened to the last episode and she agreed with you about the Moxie, the dress code. Bye.
Not what girls
are. Ow. I don't know. But yeah. Bye.
All right, bye.
Thank you. You're still going.